Welcome to Infra NDEF Podcast, the show that shines a spotlight on the incredible opportunities and challenges of infrastructure development in Africa. I am your host, Mamoudou Bokoum, and together we explore the dynamic world of African infrastructure and its impact on shaping the future of this vibrant continent. This is the second and last part of my interview with Judge Goldbeck, where we explore opportunities to revitalize rail transportation in Africa. In this 27th episode, George addresses the following key questions. What are the railway projects that have been successful in Africa that could be spotlighted? What transportation policies and regulations are most effective in fostering greater rail transport development in Africa? What innovative financing solutions could we consider in developing rail transportation in Africa? What are the most important factors for successful railway infrastructure development in Africa? What are the opportunities for further development of cross-continental railway network in the continent? What role rail transport could play in decarbonizing the transportation sector? Our guest, George, is a professional engineer by training, with a civil engineering degree and a Master of Business Administration in Finance. George has a successful track record of delivering management consulting assignments in the transport sector in Canada, Asia, and Sub-Saharan Africa. Prior to joining CPCS, he held management positions at the Canadian National Railway. Joining CPCS in 2006, George applied his breadth of railway knowledge to wide-ranging rail projects, including feasibility studies, infrastructure and functional designs, condition assessments and rehabilitation plans, upgrading and performance studies, and transaction advisory. He currently leads the CPCS Transport Global Unit. But maybe going on specifically, because CPCS in general, but you particularly have advised, several donors or countries in developing master plans or doing feasibility studies. Are there any specific railway projects that have been successful in Africa that you would like to share from your experience?
I think, there's a few that I think that probably do deserve recognition. The Kenyan Standard Gauge Railway between Mombasa to Nairobi and then Naivasha, where there's ICDs in Naivasha and in Nairobi, does generate a significant amount of container traffic, not only serving Kenya but from Naivasha. They transship to their meter gauge line, or they continue to truck to Uganda and other hinterland countries. It's taken a little bit more time than I think they expected, and some policy and regulatory changes to move that traffic from road to rail. But it has been a success in that respect, in terms of generating traffic. So I think that would be one. As I said earlier, Gabon, has a really interesting mix of government and private sector participation in the rail sector. And that has led to sustained performance and traffic levels over the last 30 years, and somewhat unique amongst African countries. Though not exclusively there. I mean, clearly there are others, but that would be one that I think is unique. And then lastly, as I said, this Tazara, it's got some serious operational challenges, some very difficult terrain that it passes through. Tough to keep infrastructure in proper condition, and much of the infrastructure is not in great shape to start with, but it's just a very difficult terrain for a railway. But they've introduced private operators. It's led to a significant traffic growth in the first 3-4 years, and all signs are that it will generate those benefits without a significant investment to this era. So I would just highlight those three as being three that I see as being signs of encouragement.
I can't help but see that all those countries are maybe in Eastern or Central Africa. Though I know there are some initiatives, projects in Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, like Why do you think maybe, or what is your thoughts? What are your thoughts on a railway development in West Africa?
Yeah, I mean, West Africa is you know, it's a different set of challenges. The countries are smaller in nature, and each relies largely on its own port, and then hinterland with each country connection to the port is typically by road. So I think that, you know, that is not as ripe for successful railways or competitive railways against road. Probably the biggest reason. They're densely populated, so perhaps in due course you'll see, these may be locations where passenger rail will be the driver as opposed to freight rail for further railway development, particular along the, you know, the Abidjan-Lagos corridor. That may be the next river, and there has been some movement. You know, in Lagos and Senegal, they do have urban rail systems. I think Senegal, or excuse me, Dakar's is operating, and I'm not as familiar with it, but, you know, generating revenue and recovering their cost. I don't think they're quite at that stage in Lagos, but they do have the infrastructure in place for one line and another portion of a line for the Lagos mass transit rail system, and as well they've built a new standard gauge line in Nigeria, largely now used for passenger rail. I don't believe there's any freight rail moving on it, or very little connectivity to production or economics, particularly production centers, isn't great yet, or to the port. So there's still work to be done, but again, that holds some promise. And the, you know, throughout West Africa, there are a lot of visions for what the network could serve, could do, and what the railway could do to, you know, particularly to serve hinterland countries that probably could be the biggest beneficiaries of a developed railway and rail network in West Africa.
Yeah, I will use your words. I mean, all the things that we are seeing out there hold some promise. I believe that in the coming years, we might see really a more dense network for rail in Africa. Maybe jumping on some recommendations, what transportation policies and regulations do you consider most effective in fostering greater rail transport development?
I mean, first of all, it's not a policy or regulation, but good governance is a big good governance and political stability is, you know, it facilitates investment, and with investment, you need a drive in industries, and many of these requiring benefiting from a railway. So, I mean, that's, I think, been a big factor the last 10, 15 years is just much better governance, perhaps, than in the latter part of the last century. But in terms of regulations, you know, in my mind, regulation of railway safety is necessary. Even if it's a government regulator, even a government railway, top, above and below rail, regardless, it's best to have an independent regulator. And that regulator should solely be focused on safety and not economic regulation of railways. You know, the current environment of roads basically serving most of the continent and few areas solely reliant on rail, there's really no pressing need for economic regulation. So I would suggest that in terms of regulations, a sound set of safety regulations and an independent regulator of the rail sector. In terms of policies, you know, I say, you know, I mentioned earlier that we're seeing in many countries a move or an interest in vertical separation, more of the European model. And, you know, with the government operating in owning below rail and above rail operations provided by one or more private operators. And there's a couple different structures for that. But I think that's probably I think that that will serve railways in Africa well. So again, you know, in terms of policy, I would pose that perhaps the best model is that of vertical separation with below rail public and above rail private operations.
I see. Regulation more focused on safety and on economic activities, and maybe trying to test more and more the vertical separation for most of the African railway. I mean, you mentioned it earlier that the main challenge led to the drop of the network was lack of investment, and one of the main challenges as well currently is investment. What innovative financing solutions would you recommend in developing the railway in Africa?
Yeah, many of the multilateral development banks, MFDs, they've recently introduced or currently in ongoing introduction of green financing instruments, many of them targeting railways, and that, you know, that those won't necessarily be a sole source for financing of a rail, but they do pose possibilities for de-risking investments, or potentially, you know, providing some sort of bridging between various sources. So that would be the first one, these green financing instruments. I know the AU has, and this has been brought up on a few calls and just meetings I've been in, but there's a real move in AU to look to sovereign wealth funds, insurance and retirement funds in some of the larger, wealthier African countries to fund railways in Africa. And that has been, you know, these funds have been well utilized throughout the world to invest in railways, where they can provide, you know, steady income earnings to these funds without taking much risk. So, you know, we're seeing this in Canada with the urban rail system, where many of the insurance and retirement funds are being used for investment in cities like Montreal. And the last, you know, there's been a real move in particularly in South Africa or Southern Africa, of leasing of rolling stock and to operators and to shippers, and that in the form of both locomotives, more often locomotives, but also wagons. And so you're seeing the form of third party ownership of wagons and locomotives, and this structure has served the West very well, and I know there's been much talk over the last few years about this Luxembourg rail protocol, which will de-risk and provide some securitization for rolling stock in Africa, and should help facilitate that sort of investment in rolling stock. So those aren't necessarily single solutions to many of the challenges, but I think they all contribute to sort of filling the financing gap in Africa on rail projects.
Yeah, this is really a significant pool of solutions, green financing instruments from MDBs, sovereign wealth funds, insurance and retirement funds, private sector participation. I believe, yeah, we have here different options that can be tested within this country. Maybe considering still the development of railway in Africa, what do you consider the most important factors for successful rail development?
Yeah, I mean, density drives railway profitability. You know, we look to, you know, I was heavily involved in the Canadian rail sector in the 90s and early part of this century, and there was a fair amount of deregulation and railways, they move, you know, they any redundant lines would be removed, and the point was to focus push traffic onto trunk lines to generate density on these lines. You know, the number of trains or the gross tons or net tons per year passing over a point, you know, section of track. So, and that's how profitability is driven. And, you know, I think when we look at railways in places like in West Africa, East Africa in particular, where the countries are quite small, and many of them have visions of building railways into the hinterland, you know, that may be in perhaps in their best interest, and a certain degree of competition amongst them makes sense. But to really drive the profitability and lower the tariffs, potentially lower the tariffs for users, you know, I think the railway, that network needs to be looked at from a regional perspective. And, you know, maybe a single line that serves Burkina Faso and Niger with branch lines that serve the, perhaps serve some of the countries that the coastal companies, countries. You know, a similar arrangement in East Africa. I think they need, I guess the point is when railways are planned and developed, what I've seen thus far is largely they've been studied from the perspective of the country that's funding the railway. But I think really their interest and that of their, you know, the whole region is best served by looking at it from a regional perspective, and looking at, you know, that being a regional railway and mandate is to make it as profitable as possible. I mean, and it's not purely financial profitability from a private sector perspective, but, you know, if you're generating more profitability financially, it's driving economic benefits too. So I think my point is, I think regional development of railways is going to better serve the continent than this individual focus on railways.
I mean, I maybe we'll take that point in terms of regional development. We have been seeing most of the regional economic communities trying to push for more regional projects. The African Union as well, with its NEPAD initiatives, they are trying to push for more regional projects. Do you believe, I mean, or is there any challenges or opportunities, I mean, for the development of cross-continental railway networks in the continent? What are they?
Well, you know, I think, you know, there have been a number of plans put forward for cross-continental railways. The African Integrated High-Speed Rail Network, I believe there's currently a TARC initiative, Trans-African Railway, something company. And it's great to look, I mean, at the rail sector from a continental perspective. But I think the reality is railways, you know, we're currently seeing new standards. I mean, and I think as well, outside of Southern Africa, the continent has accepted standard gauges as the norm for new railway lines. And we've seen new rail lines in Ethiopia and Kenya and Tanzania and starting to Nigeria and other places. My expectation is these railways will eventually be extended to serve hinterland countries. And they themselves may connect up with each other. And you'll see hinterland countries connected to probably multiple ports, maybe one on each coast or two on each coast. So, I mean, that is the semblance of a very integrated railway, at least for, you know, maybe Central Africa, be it Central being, you know, East and West Africa as we know it. Will they eventually connect to, you know, the networks of Southern Africa, which is Cape Gauge, and through the Sahara to North Africa? I mean, that likelihood of that is a little bit more remote or a little bit further off into the future, but certainly not out of the question. I'm sure there's a political drive for that connectivity. And I anticipate the very well could be for a, you know, it's tough, you know, once I think the rail sector, you know, in connecting interline countries develop some momentum and various parts, various, you know, the benefits are recognized. I could see other countries and other regions wanting to participate in it. So it's possible, but I think that's somewhat distant in the future.
I see. Maybe building a momentum from linking different ports to the hinterland, and from that trying to really push it further and link between different countries. Maybe for our last question, I mean, we have seen most of actors, governments, donors, looking for solutions to decarbonize the economy. And on that, transport is expected to play really a great role because, I mean, most of the emissions come from this sector. What role rail transport could play in decarbonizing transport?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to decarbonizing long distance land freight transport, rail is a slam dunk. You know, given the only real touted land alternative is road, it's always going to get the attention it needs. I mean, the challenge is the capital investment is so significant that's the limit, not the benefits in terms of decarbonization. Rail truly is a slam dunk. Similarly, in urban transit, rail tends to be a preferred alternative when you're looking at decarbonizing. If it's getting people out of private vehicles or informal transport, high capacity buses is an option. But rail, the benefits of steel on steel and a dedicated network, grossly exceed those. And again, the fact is they, in terms of decarbonizing, they are the solution. It's more often than not, it's the capital challenge and the affordability issue. But, I think, the benefits of rail and how they'll impact Africa were only in the early stages, you know, the power of rail to decarbonize and how it'll impact rail in Africa is in the early stages. And I think potentially the impacts will be significant. I do hope that it leads to investment in rail, significant enough to make a difference, but I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope that this opportunity to decarbonize transport through rail, it brings more investment from different actors. I mean, this has been more than half an hour that we have been discussing, and I mean, it's interesting, it's exciting because it's rail, it's Africa, it's transport. But I mean, let's stop it here from now. Maybe just before we close this interview, any final word you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I can say I've been I think I did my first rail project in Africa in about in 2007, and I've been involved ongoingly since then on one or more at any point in time. So I've seen a lot of changes, and I've worked in many parts of the continent, and it's certainly much more encouraging now than it was 15 years ago, when it was a pretty bleak environment for rail in Africa. And I don't anticipate, I mean, I hope that we're on a curve that will only accelerate. But I think we're pretty early on that curve in terms of the investment in rail and regrowth of rail in the sector. But I do think the prognosis looks good for rail. And I'm happy to play a small role that I do on the various projects I've worked on.
Yeah, I would say you are playing a great role because, I mean, you have been involved in most of the regional master plans. And it's good to have experts like you bringing their international knowledge to support this trend. Thank you, George. It was a pleasure having this show discussion with you. And I hope we have you again in the show to discuss other topics related to transport.
Great. Thank you, Mamadou. It's been my pleasure.
Le développement de l'Afrique. passera inévitablement par le développement d'infrastructures qui favorisent une croissance économique durable et inclusive, une économie du bien-être. Ceci fait du développement des infrastructures une affaire pour tous, une affaire de tous. Merci beaucoup d'avoir écouté cet épisode du podcast Infrastructure et Développement. Ceci est un cadre d'échange pour vous. Partagez-le autour de vous et n'hésitez pas à nous laisser des commentaires pour nous faire part de votre appréciation et de vos suggestions d'amélioration. À très bientôt pour un autre épisode.